Hello there. Welcome to this week's episode. We are diving into the transformative world of sales with our esteemed guest, Harry Speight, a celebrated keynote speaker, author, and podcast host. Harry champions the concept of servant selling, a strategy that harmonizes sales with dignity and leadership. His book, Selling with Dignity, and podcast, Sales Made Easy, reflect his successful approach. Today, Harry shares invaluable insights on how sales professionals can thrive by fostering genuine connections in our digital age. Stay tuned as we explore the art of selling with integrity and the impact of digital engagement on building lasting relationships. Harry, welcome to the show. How are you?
I'm doing great, Johnny. It's an honor to be here. Can't wait for the conversation.
Well, I'm really pleased you're here, and I am really looking forward to you helping us reflect on how we should be selling and what works and what doesn't. So perhaps you're listening, perhaps you're watching right now, perhaps you're a bit shy or you don't like the idea of selling, but you know you have to, or perhaps you are a salesperson and maybe we can make you reflect and think of a different tactic. Harry, I mentioned your book, Selling with Dignity, where you introduced the concept of servant selling. Explain what that means and how it transforms the sort of traditional sales approach.
Yeah, well, the interesting thing about my background is I used to do mission work. So I spent a few years, over a decade, serving people. And I learned that it's all about the other person. When you lead with yourself, you're not going to get very far. And these principles that I learned about that came from the ancient writings of the Bible and a lot of religious doctrine, was all about serving people. And I brought that into the corporate world of business-to-business sales. And I didn't know any different. I mean, I knew that putting others first was my background. I did that in sales. And I realized that I stumbled onto something because that was not exactly being taught in sales training, that's for sure. So the idea was really to serve others and provide them value and what they needed, and you'll get what you want in life. So that was, and Zig Ziglar said the same thing. So that's kind of what I talk about in a nutshell.
And I guess that's that whole sort of thing of listening. You've got two ears, one mouth. I'm sort of hearing that it's more about the other person than you. Tell us more about this then. So what are some of the things that we need to consider? And listen, Harry, how should we be selling?
Well, yeah. So if whenever we're having a sales conversation, before we start, I think the key thing is to think, how can I serve the person that I'm speaking with? Instead of how do I make the sale today? When we start thinking about ourselves, it's clear. I mean, there is no doubt for the listener that this person who is selling is selling. I think one of the greatest compliments in the world is when people say, wow, I really never viewed you as a salesperson. I mean, so that's when a buyer tells you that, then that tells you you're onto something good. And instead of leading with your product and leading with your service, have conversations with people, find out what they need, and then find ways to serve them. If you're only about yourself and what you sell, it's going to be apparent. But if you're networking, you know other people, you have other resources, you'll be able to provide value in a number of different ways that people are going to look at you as a valuable resource versus, here's this hairy guy again trying to sell me something, and I'm just going to ignore the call or ignore the email. You see how that makes, does that make sense for you as that thought?
It does. So what are some of the typical questions, I guess, that you should be asking a potential customer or client? Is it about asking them questions? How do you get that conversation going?
Well, I think so what's very common is people networking. So I work with a lot of people who are starting a consulting business. They're encouraged to network. A very common practice is to hand out business cards and say, this is what I do, which people who leave those network events have a pile of business cards in their pocket or their purse They look at them and then they either use them for toothpicks or they go in the trash. No one's really saving those business cards, and no one is certainly calling the person that gave them the card. So a much better approach is simply say you're interested in finding out what the person does, to see if there might be opportunities to work together, to collaborate, to see where our paths may cross, to see if there's opportunity for each other, and have a conversation. What is it you do? How do you serve people? And then you'll find out what's important to you in your business these days, what challenges. You can't lead with that because people don't know you. You have to build some trust. But by you showing that you're interested in the other person, you said it, Johnny, is listen. And this is a huge challenge for many who speak a lot, is that they are anxious about what they're going to say next.
Yeah.
So before the person even finishes what they're saying, an interrupter starts to tell them about, well, that relates, that's exactly what I do. And there you lost the person, because now the person sees you from who you really are, which is that seller underneath the person being nice and being attentive. Then the true colors come out, and that's just not going to help. So people are very aware these days of who's trying to sell them, and we all have our guard up. So the best thing is to say, I'm not here to sell. I'm here to learn about you and provide value. And if that works out, great. If it doesn't, we're still friends.
You're talking about a networking environment, which I get. But I'm assuming that with this type of approach, how do you go about targeting and sort of opening that door in the first place? We're going to get onto how digital can marry with this type of selling. But I'm just wondering, if you're not in a networking environment and you're going out looking for prospects,
how you
define that they're the right sort of prospect to spend time with, I guess.
Great question. Yeah. So not everyone's a prospect. Number one, I mean, you have to figure out who is your ideal client, and this is not always easy, but not everybody's a prospect. So it helps you to narrow the field. And then you start thinking about, well, who is best fitted to fit with what I sell, whether it be a product or service, and then start speaking to those people. Then, you know, a cold outreach with a telephone is still works to some degree. It's not as great as it once was, but it's certainly not dead. The phone is, people still pick up the phone occasionally, and with a series of phone, email, social media outreach, people start to get to see you. And it's just in the beginning, it's just trying to break the ice and show that you're different. And you can mention who you are, why you're calling. I mean, that's fine. And say, I noticed something about your business. I noticed about your website. I noticed about this, that this is what you're doing. When people do that to me, it's like, oh, you actually did a little research, versus, Harry, do you need sales training? It's like, hello. I mean, just check out my pro. No, I don't need sales training, but just spend a few minutes researching who you're going to be speaking with or trying to speak with, and then mention something about them. Not just shows you are living in an opposite world than everyone else, because now you're leading with them, and it shows that person that you're doing something more than the average person who's just trying to sell their stuff. What's your thought on that?
Yeah, it's interesting, because I get a daily email offering me SEO services, and it's like, have you looked at my website? Do you know anything about me? Have you looked at my LinkedIn profile? Clearly not.
Right.
I get that completely. What I'm wondering is, with this approach, servant selling, I would assume it has some kind of impact on the relationship between you and the client in the long term. So does it have what sort of impact does it have to help for the sort of keeping that a much longer term relationship?
Yeah, it's a great question. I mean, think of who do buyers like to buy from? And I think friends. So if they have friends who are sellers, it gets real easy to buy from them.
Yeah.
I can think of for years, when I was up in the Washington, D.C. market, I used to play cards with one of my largest clients. I mean, they had the annual poker game, did that for years, and there are no other salespeople there. So why was I, it was just because I became a friend. And that's really the key, is that if you become a friend with your client, they're going to want to do business with you because it's easy to do business with you. The trust is already built up, and I suggest you lose at playing cards with them because that always makes them feel good. Don't walk away with everyone's money. That's not good, but you get the idea. Become friendly, and they will want to buy from you. And I, you know, from 10, 15 years ago, still friends with these people on LinkedIn. So, yeah, that stuff works, folks.
But surely it has to be authentic as well, though.
Oh, yeah. I think I'm kind of stumbling in my words here, but faking friendship and faking sincerity is just so lame and gross to me. And that comes through as well. Yeah. People try to do this all the time, and we all pick up these little micro expressions on people's faces. So when you see someone coming, you are going to have a little micro expression for them. You're either going to smile or you're going to go, ugh. And that works out both ways. And you can tell with the way people's eyes are, the way their mouth moves. You know, there's just different things that we pick up that people say and do the opposite, right? They'll say one thing, their face says something different. And not that you have to be a body language psychologist, but we all do this. We all can pick up someone's body language, and that slimy, fake approach that someone's going to be your best friend. It's like, oh, please. That's not why you're calling. So we get through that pretty quickly.
I've always said that people buy from people they like. I've never said people buy from friends, and I quite like that idea because it's really true. So it's how do you build that? You know, when I've talked about how do you get people to like you, it's about building trust, it's about showing personality. But actually, you're saying it's much more than that. It's about focusing on them and as you've said, serving them.
100%. If a lot of people in sales think the sale is finished when the contract is signed, when the agreement is signed, and then they go into the handoff that someone else takes over and so forth.
Move on to the next one.
Yeah, exactly. So instead of that, think of how much additional opportunity is with that person and their business. Not that that has to be the motive, but just treat people as regular people. And then, you know, there's only so much time during the day. So larger potential opportunities should get more of your time. And that will free up more of your time because you're now selling higher ticket items versus whatever. I think you get the idea. So spending time with people who could buy more and getting to know them was really a priority for me. And that meant going out for lunch, playing a round of golf, going to a basketball or a hockey game together, playing cards, stuff like that, asking about their family. Just bring it personal. These are all regular people. And I think this is, if we go, I'm a seller, you're a buyer, buyers are liars. We say all this nonsensical stuff that is out there, always be closing. We're treating everyone like a number. Sales is a numbers game. You're missing the mark. There are some beautiful people out there that will spend tons of money with you and will never shop you because you've been to their house and gave their one-year-old a birthday gift. Right? So they're not shopping you when you do that stuff, right? You have gone to a different level of being trusted and liked. You're now almost part of the family.
Yeah, and you're right. A lot of people have their guard up immediately when they feel it's a sales conversation. So it's around how you can have a totally different approach to, you know, avoid that sales dance, avoid that, move away from the conversation, and instead have a much more enjoyable conversation. The one thing that was of interest, which I've heard you talk about before, is around different types of consultants or professionals leading with what they do, what they sell. And one of the best examples that I've heard is digital marketeers. There's a lot of digital marketeers that listen to this podcast, that watch. Thank you for watching. Thank you for listening. Tons of marketing tips. Today we're talking about sales. No one really enjoys going out to sell. And digital marketers go out and say they sell digital marketing. Talk to me about how that is totally the wrong approach.
Yeah. And not to pick just on them, this is very common, is that people think they're selling what they do, the product or the service. And I can't take credit for it. I'd love to, but Anthony Iannarino, in his book, The Only Sales Book You'll Ever Need, or something like that. It's behind me, I'm pointing. But he talked about selling outcomes. And once I read that, it was like, oh, okay, we're not selling widgets. We're selling why people are buying the widget. Why are people buying digital marketing? Are they buying digital marketing because they want to spend money on digital marketing? No, they want more business. They want more better branding. They want a better website that attracts people. They want more engagement on social media. So instead of saying I'm a digital marketer, say I work with businesses who are looking to grow their brand so that they can get more clients or more incoming, more inbound opportunities. Whatever it is that they are buying, that's what you're selling. They're not buying, you know, I'm not buying digital marketing because I just have tons of money to spend. Or I'm not, right? And realtors do, I mean, realtors, insurance, people say, well, I sell insurance. It's like, okay, you and everyone else, or I do financial planning. It's like, you and everyone else, this does not resonate with me. Tell me a story of how you work with people. Then I'm now connecting, and it's like, oh, okay, that's different.
So insurance is about reducing the risk. Financial planning is about, you know, saving tax or future. Instead of saying what it is on the tin, which actually isn't the outcome.
Exactly. Yeah. And this is it's so common for people. Again, there are millions of salespeople that do the same thing. But the ones that stand out are the ones that are going to be doing the outcomes. They're selling the outcome. They're telling the story about the outcome and how they serve people. And that stuff is very relatable. Selling X, selling the product, becomes noise. People don't, they just say, well, I don't need digital marketing. I don't even know what it is, but I don't think I need it. So next, or whatever, right? I'm not in the market for a house. Next.
Yeah. You mentioned social media being a part of this. How important is digital? And how does that, you know, having the presence on digital, and how can you use that to build perhaps trust and credibility?
Yeah, I think you mentioned earlier about being authentic and genuine. This is your opportunity on social media. And video is huge for this because people get to see who you really are. I mean, if you're not in a studio and you're well rehearsed and you get to be, you know, this is me, this is who I am, this is what I, you know, these are my flaws. This is how I serve people, and you become an educator or you're a value provider, maybe a little sense of humor. You know, you can have your own brand, your own following. It's just such a huge opportunity that so many people are missing out on.
But what I'm hearing though is it's a compliment to your approach. It's not you don't see social media as the only way to sell by any means. But what I'm hearing is it's an important part to help bring the personality, to help bring the likability, to help show the, well, you said it yourself, the authenticity. And so that includes social media, you mentioned email as well. So yeah. talk to me about email then.
Well, I think on the email is try to get out of this, that the there's a great book, the guy's name, Chet Holmes, wrote in 2015 or so. And not that that's important, but he talks about the fact that there's typically 4% of people are in the market for whatever it is you're selling. And then you have 30% that could be interested, and another 30% somewhere around these numbers that are, would be curious. They just don't know about it. And then maybe 30% that would never buy, along those lines. The emails typically go after the 4%, like who's in the market today. So there's no real value for someone like me when I'm getting spammed by someone's email that has no value for me. Instead, make the email about something valuable for your ideal client. And if your ideal client is struggling in getting sales, or if they're struggling in getting their brand messaging out, have stories about that. Be relatable in that versus, you know, if you're struggling with SEO, or if your website's not getting, you know, again, that's noise. You want to relate to people and have a story there.
What are some of the professions that you work with, some of the consultants? What, because it's certainly not just digital marketing. So what are some of the different types of consultants you work with?
Well, like photographers who would we want to get out of, like an example I can think of, like, so I'll work with anybody who is where this message resonates. Right. And ideally, they're leaving the corporate world and they want to make an impact. So it's impact driven people who I typically work with. And that covers quite a few different fields I found, whether it be a photographer or someone starting their own catering business or someone who's starting their own publishing business. It's all very similar. It's put the other person first. Don't be so caught up with how I need to close this person, and just take the neediness out and recognize that some people are going to buy in 3 months, some are going to buy in 3 years, and some are never going to buy from you. And we can't control that. All we can control is, do we want to be one that's viewed as being a value provider or one that's a needy salesperson? And there's not a lot in between, in my opinion.
Harry, some would say, you know, playing devil's advocate here, and I'm hearing some, you know, lovely stories, you know, go and play cards, go and play golf, take a present round when the kids won. You know, could you end up going too far here and creating friends that are never, ever going to buy from you? So I'm assuming there must be some in between, or more so, how do you validate? How do you ensure that you're doing this for the right reasons?
Yeah. All right. So this is perfect, because I've been in situations as a sales leader where I told people in sales that you're spending time, too much time, trying to make friends, right? So that's a challenge for people who just want to be friends. You have to have the ability to ask for the business. And if you're afraid to ask for the business, then making friends isn't necessarily going to help. You have to ask for the business. And I like to make it very clear early on, this is what I do. If people don't ask, like, what it is you do, and you have to tell them, that's not a good sign, especially networking. If you're in a corporate B2B role and you're calling on people, you have to say, this is how we work with people. It's clear. If there's not any reciprocation there, that there's a problem, that they have a real need or a problem that they want to have solved, and they have the money to do that, and you can't get a good timeline that this is going to happen in the next 5 years, I'm not becoming best friends with those people. I'm nice, I'm respectful, but there are also tons of people that need what I have. That's where I'm going to spend the majority of my time. and want and have the money. Does that bring clarity to that?
Yeah, it does. It helps quantify it, doesn't it? I'm guessing that rejection is a huge issue when it comes to trying to sell, the fear of someone saying no, and more so how that can discourage you from moving forwards and trying with someone else. What advice do you have for professionals to sort of overcome hearing the words no?
Yeah, it's very common, and understand that not everyone. So if 4% of people are in the market, that means 96% are not. Okay, so 96% of the people you talk to are going to say, I'm not interested. No, that's not important to me. I've got other things. Just get used to that. That does not mean anything other than you're talking to one of 96 people who are not in the market. You still want to uncover more about their business to see if it's worth following up with those people. Like, for instance, if you're selling SEO for websites and someone said, you're talking to someone and said, no, I'm not interested. And you said, okay, moved on. Could there be an opportunity? Maybe they're not interested now because they've got an urgent fire to take care of. And they're not interested if you offered them $1 million. So asking and just say with empathy, I understand that you're not interested. Would you be opposed if I asked a quick question? And see if you can get that question out. Sometimes they're going to hang up. Sometimes they're going to say no. Sometimes they'll say sure. And you ask a question. And if the question is this occasionally a concern of yours? Or whatever the good question is that you would have for your industry. And see what they say. And then you now can say, you know what? I understand that you said you're really busy. Would it be all right if we spoke again, say a week from today, same time, if I put that in the calendar? Now, you have two different types of calls. The first person walks away saying, that person's not interested. Nobody's interested. The second person who did what I described says, I got a lead. I've got an opportunity because I got past the no, I'm not interested. So I encourage people to ask one or two questions if you can, but don't stay there all day trying to overcome these questions, you know, raising questions for them, if that's helpful.
And during that phase, I know that a lot of people then get ghosted. You've put time and effort into a proposal, perhaps. You've sent it over and you just don't hear anything. What are some of the tips and tricks you might have to re-engage with that person?
Well, number one is the proposal. Are we offering the proposal or someone asking for a proposal?
Well, good question. Yeah. I'm not sure. Let's cover both bases. I have no idea, Harry. It's a fictitious question.
Okay. So in this hypothetical situation, let's say we offered someone a proposal and the potential buyer has no skin in the game and they say, sure, send me a proposal. And the seller thinks they've got a live one. The prospect just wanted to get rid of the person. So they said, yeah, sure, send me a proposal. That will get rid of you. Yeah, and then I will never have to speak to you again because you just gave me what you got and showed your cards and I'm not interested. So those people ghosting, that's way different from someone who says, wow, Johnny, what you do is really good. It's what I definitely need. I'm really interested in what you have to offer. So what does that look like? And now you provide a proposal, you review it with me, and then I disappear. Well, which one of the two are we going to follow up with? Which one is more alive, right? Where there's more opportunity. And I would say it's the latter because the latter asked for it.
But. How are you going to re-engage them, though?
Yeah, so I'm not sure if I disappeared here, but
we've completely got you.
All right, cool. So we want to re-engage by continuing to provide value, which the challenge is that they already have a proposal. So emotionally, we're already feeling like they've moved down the line. Now they've ghosted us. I think the best thing mentally is to recognize that we ourselves ghost people at times. Things happen. We say things like, I'm really in the market. I need that. I'm going to get a new car, whatever. I'm going to get new furniture, whatever the big ticket item is. Then stuff comes up in our lives and we say, I don't really want to do that right now. I've got this I got to take care of. And we start second guessing. Show empathy. And what the person does not need at that point is some salesperson saying, where have you been? I've been looking for you. It's been a while. You kind of dropped off the face of the earth, which are all insults. It's all demeaning to the potential buyer. So instead, just continue to provide value. Send an email and say, Johnny, I was thinking about you today, and I came across this great article that reminded us of our conversation a couple of weeks ago. And no ask, right? No ask. It's like, here it is. You find a person on social media a few days later, you like their post and you comment, say, hey, great stuff, Johnny. Totally appreciate your point here about this. And you're now showing you're actually engaged versus excellent post, right? Okay. So now you're doing this stuff and you're just hanging around the surface. And then you make the phone call and say, hey, Johnny, we had a great conversation 3 months ago. It's been, we've got a couple of things out since we last spoke. I wanted to see if it'd be good to maybe catch up again and show you what the latest and greatest is, or show you that there's some new things out there that may be applicable for you. Would you be open to set up a meeting or something like that? So never going back and saying you got this far, what happened, right? Where it's now. Yeah.
So it's continuing to add value, isn't it? I've got a question from someone listening right now. What foundational advice would you give to someone new to the field, especially in adopting a servant selling mindset?
Okay, so I missed the question a little bit.
So they're obviously just starting out in sales, I'm guessing.
Yeah.
Okay. What advice would you give to someone new to the field, especially in adopting a servant selling mindset?
Yeah. Okay. I read, when I started out in sales, coming from the mission background, I read The Greatest Salesman in the World, written by Og Mandino in the 1960s. That so related to me, or I related so much to that book. I needed to do that. I didn't tell a lot of people this. I didn't, when I had to have this closing mindset, you need to close business. I worked in a Fortune 500 company where we were constantly monitored by numbers. So the stuff works. It's not like I broadcasted it. It's just sometimes you have to be an island with this and watch what everyone else does and say, I can serve people, but I'll tell you, a great industry to observe is the food industry, servers in fine dining restaurants. They're selling, right? They're not just serving folks. They have revenue attached to their tables, and the ones that produce more get better tables and they get better shifts. You serve, but you have to continue to ask for the order politely. So recognize, I think the key thing is, I'm always going to be serving, but I'm not going to be afraid to ask for the next step. And the next step is not always the order. The next step is, let's meet again, 3 days from today, or let's do a product demonstration or whatever it is, but you've got to keep moving the sales process forward as much as possible.
For the sort of hardcore sellers that are listening and watching, the ones that have been doing sales for many, many years, they they're probably, you know, possibly listening, thinking, oh, I've heard all this, and you know, my way is the right way, and I've not learned anything here. What would you say to them that would really make them look in the mirror and just think about it?
Well, these people generally are saying that sales has changed. It's harder now. They're not having the same results, and they're blaming, of course, the prospect. They're not looking in the mirror, generally. My opinion is they're not showing interest in you because they see through you, and like everyone else, we're bombarded by spam and scam likely calling us, the emails, the bombardment with DMs on LinkedIn. I think you might want to look at a different approach. And instead of leading with your product, find your top 10 clients, go to their social media posts, or your top 10 prospects and clients, get a mix, go to their social media posts and start engaging with those people and see what kind of worlds open up. Now, when you have engagement, you can say, Johnny, I loved your post the other day. It's been a while since we caught up, or you and I never had a conversation. Would you be up for a 15-minute virtual coffee? I'd like to learn more about your business. Not that I'm a digital marketer and I know I can provide value for your business.
Yeah.
No, right? Look for a way to refer. I think this is the key, is look for a way you can refer business to that person. And that just is a whole new world of opportunity when a prospect now is hearing you and saying that you know people that might be interested in what they sell. That's, that's a collaboration big time.
That changes things, doesn't it?
It does, yeah.
The insights you've given are incredibly enlightening, Harry. For our listeners that are eager to learn more about servant selling and your work, where's the best place to find you online? Where should they connect? What resources have you got? There's the book, of course. You tell me.
I'm going to suggest go to sellingwithdignity.com. You can download a free book preview there under the book chapter or the title of the webpage. And there's the podcast is there, but really the key thing is get a download of the book and see if this resonates with you, because I think there's a ton of value in it.
Wow. And you've also got a new website that you're about to launch as well. We'll put all that in the show notes because I know it's not quite live yet, but it'll be in the show notes. That'll be there whenever you might be watching or listening to this podcast. Harry, that's been really helpful. I think it's the key takeaway I've had here is it's all about them. It's less about you. It's all about them, and it's the value that you can add, and it's using those ears. Is that fair?
Oh, it's so good. You go into every selling conversation and say, "How can I serve this person today?" You're going to walk away with sales.
This has been Harry Speight, Selling with Dignity, and it's all about servant selling, focusing on the other person. Extremely helpful. Thank you for being here, Harry. As I said, we'll put all the links in the show notes. If you've been watching, if you've been listening, whether it's on the replay or live, thank you so much for being here. Please do subscribe. Please do tell your friends. And if it's been helpful, let us know. Contact us on social media. Tell us what you think. If you disagree, tell us. We're open ears. We want to, we're here to listen. Thanks so much. We'll see you on the next podcast. Thanks, Harry. Take care. See you soon.
All right. Take care.